Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of Stay on Target. We are going to be talking about Walking Dead 400 Days.
And we've actually got a special guest on the show. We've had him on a number of times. He's kind of becoming a staple to a lot of the video game talks and things that we have.
Yeah.
And anyway, we got Derek from D-Train Games.
Yep, he'll be on a little bit later. Make sure you check us out on Facebook. It's facebook.com/stayontargetpodcast. You can hit us up on Twitter at stayontargetpod.
All right, so there's not a whole lot of news this week. It's a very light news week.
Correct.
But let's just dive kind of into the two kind of news stories that we have. I mean, these are, you know, the news stories that kind of we could only think of. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on out at Comic-Con.
Yeah, there's Comic-Con this week, but I mean, there hasn't been anything, you know, that's really just captured my attention.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah. So what's going on, you know, next Thursday, the 25th mm-hmm. of July, VGHS Season 2 is going to premiere.
Yes, I'm super pumped about that. You guys definitely need to check that out on Freddy W's channel, and it's rocketjump.com as well. And again, that's the first, they're billing it as the first mixed frame rate, I guess, anything really.
Right, yeah. I mean, the regular scenes are shot in regular 24 frames a second, and everything else is shot in 48 frames a second.
The action scenes are 48 frames per second.
Yeah, so it'll be pretty cool. We'll just see how that works. You know, and you can get caught up on Netflix. I think they have this first season of...
Or Netflix, YouTube has it.
YouTube and Netflix.
Netflix has it?
Yeah.
Really?
They have for a while now.
VGHS?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yes. Close so anyway, mind. Check out the first season. It's really good.
Absolutely.
All right. Also, free for the last half of July
yeah.
on Xbox Live is Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah, and you guys definitely need to pick that up. Again, it's part of the initiative that they had where they have two games
for gold.
Yeah, games for gold. And so if you have Xbox Live Gold, you're going to get two games for free every month on Xbox Live.
Yep.
And so we're just going to kind of keep you updated on that. Make sure that you guys download those because they're free games. And who can complain with free games?
I can't.
All right, cool. So just kind of moving on, Chris, let's talk about your pick of the week. Let's each kind of have, you know, what's your favorite thing that kind of you've done this week that you've experienced this week?
Yeah,
what have you got going on?
Yeah, okay, so my pick of the week is our main story of this podcast.
That's
so
lame.
I won't go into... What?
That's totally lame. I mean, you know, you're gonna... But I guess it's awesome because... It's the pick of the week, and it's also on the podcast.
It's true, yeah. So, Walking Dead 400 Days, if you haven't checked it out, download it, check it out. It's really good. You'll see why in a minute.
Awesome. My pick of the week, personally, is Batman 66, the digital comic. It's a digital first, and you can grab that on DC Comics app or on Comixology, their app as well.
Yeah.
And it's super cool because just the way they deliver it, it's different than most digital comics. It's not just like a comic. It kind of plays like you, as you scroll across, the dialogue changes, the action changes on the screen. It's more kind of a movie kind of a aspect. So
yeah, it's almost like a motion comic. That's what I was to say.
Yeah.
Like, you know, where there's parts of the images stay static, but all, some of them change. Dialogue bubbles pop in and out. It's really cool rather than going frame by frame just across a comic book
Absolutely.
Page.
And that's kind of what sold me on it. You were the one that introduced me kind of to it and sold me on the fact that I needed to be reading it. And so whenever you showed that to me, I was super impressed and decided to pick that up. So
yeah, it's awesome. Next week on the show, we're going to be reviewing Wolverine.
Yep.
We're going to have...
Hopefully have Jared
hopefully,
on the show.
Yeah, hopefully have Jared back on the show. We're going to go see it on Thursday night, was whenever it opens, and
yep.
We're going to get that thing up as soon as possible so you can know whether or not you should go see it. Cool. All right, so we're going to do this. No, this is the thing. I have to kick John out because he has not played this game. Any of it, in fact. And so...
I know. I should be ashamed.
You should be ashamed. It's shaming. Anyway...
I feel you and Derek's like you're just you're embarrassed to know me. I feel
we
like,
are.
You know, just...
We are, for sure. All right, get out of here.
All right. I'm going.
All right, sounds good. Slam the door on your way out. That sounds good. All right. Moving on, we are talking to Derek from D-Train Games about The Walking Dead 400 Days. Hey, Derek.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, man. How are you?
Not too bad.
So we've kicked John out. Because John has not played this game.
Oh, wow.
I know. Like, it's that's a tragedy.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I don't even know what to say. Like, I'm almost ashamed to say that those words just came out of my mouth.
Yeah. I mean, what can you do?
I don't know. I've chastised him. I've encouraged him, and then I've cried over it, and nothing's worked. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe one day he'll play.
Yeah.
So what did you give me some just general impressions about the game? Just first off, then we can kind of go more in depth. Let's do kind of a spoiler free kind of section, and then we'll go into some more spoilerish details.
Okay. Well, I think the most apt description of 400 Days is that it's a snack size Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a little bit of what made the other five episodes really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that really, you know, heavy focus on narrative. It's kind of your classic point and click style adventure game.
Right.
But it's just. And it's broken up. The story is interesting because it centers around a truck stop and five different stories that are told in or around that truck stop.
Right. I didn't figure that out until, like, I don't know, maybe the third one. I was like, oh, this is all kind of taking place in the same area.
And, yeah.
And didn't, I kind of just made that connection once I got into it.
Yeah, it's interesting to see kind of how the stories weave together at the end. This is the spoiler-free section, so I won't go into it too much, but it's really cool to see how Telltale just kind of weaves all these stories together.
Right.
When they take place over the course of probably a year and a little more than a year.
Right, right.
The main focus of the game is obviously the narrative.
Right.
And they just did an incredible job. I mean, it's crazy to me how they can develop a character in 15 minutes more than the show can do sometimes in an entire season.
Right, right.
Like, you know, in 15 or 20 minutes, you can get to know a character so well.
Right.
In 400 days, and it's really... You know, you don't see that in most games, and, you know, pretty much anywhere you don't see that,
right.
You know, that quality of storytelling where you see a character and they'll mention something really quick and it's just like, oh, I've learned something about them.
Right, right.
So it's really unbelievable to kind of see, you know, how good they are at telling these stories about these characters and... You know, it's just, it's something that's really refreshing to see.
Right. Yeah, that's what really impressed me was just, you know, playing through it. I think whenever you played it first and you told me that it was about, you know, came in about an hour and a half. And I was just like, man, that's kind of short compared to the other ones. And
yeah.
And you said, you know, told me something along the lines of, yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's still just as good.
Right.
And it was, man, like, you know, I was playing through it And at first I wasn't sure about, like, the whole, like, you know, different characters thing. You know, we go through five different characters in the course of an hour and a half and how that would work. But I really liked it. I liked it, you know, because they did such a good job, like you said, of connecting you to the character. And then I liked the variety of their storylines. It wasn't the same thing over and over again. And it wasn't even anything, like, some of them weren't even anything like the first season of The Walking Dead. It was really different, and I liked that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a variety of stories to be told, and, you know, they have all these different new characters that they're going to be introduced within the course of the game, and then, you know, they have a sequence that really just ties all of these stories together. So it's not just kind of scatterbrained storytelling, like,
right.
All of these stories are being told for a reason,
right.
Because they're all eventually going to be connected.
Right. So what would you give this, you know, just to end our spoiler-free part of this review, what would you do, don't do a rating yet, but would you do should people play it, should they not play it?
I think they should definitely play it, especially if they're a fan of the other episodes. It's pretty much the same thing as the other five episodes. It's a little bit shorter, but it's a very dense hour and a half in terms of, you know, the stories that are told and the characters that are fleshed out. So I think it's definitely worth the $5 for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Especially, yeah, like you said, if you enjoyed the first season and if you're planning on playing the second season, because it feels like this is, you know, setting us up for the second season. All right, so we're going to enter into our spoiler part. So if you care about spoilers, turn this off now. Like, don't listen anymore. Like, just turn it off. Like, it's a hot potato. That's a really bad analogy. But, you know, just drop it like it's hot. Just turn it off.
Exactly.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
All right, Derek, take us in.
The variety of stories is really interesting. I mean, we go from a guy on a prison bus to a couple of guys just driving through a forest to, you know, a teenage kid who gets picked up by someone who's not very friendly, as he originally lets on, to kind of a crazy little love story in a way.
Right. So let me ask you, who did you play first? You know, whose storyline did you play first?
I played the prison story first. Vince.
Yep, that's what I did too. I played that one first.
Yeah, because I think there's a chronological order to the stories, and so I played them in chronological order.
Really? I did not do that. I just did it how they were just listed on the television screen, I believe I did. And that's not chronological order, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just start with Vince, man. You know, like, Vince, you know, he's just, I don't know, like, the thing is, you know, the thing that is crazy about The Walking Dead, the game by Telltale, so, you know, mm-hmm. they can take someone like Lee and someone like Vince, who are obviously, like, they've done something bad, you know, and then mm-hmm. you immediately sympathize with them. You're like,
right.
This is crazy. Like, any other game, I would not like this person. And you just do, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, they flush him out as a character enough to, like, give you certain things to latch on to
mm-hmm.
That make you appreciate his character.
Right. Yeah. And I liked the just immediately giving you choices. You know, like, to throw away the gun, what to do with the gun. You know, and man, like, I'm telling you what, like, once I got to the end and it was just a force. You had to make a choice between shooting one guy in the leg, basically killing him, and or killing the other guy. You know, it was like it was just a no-win situation.
Yeah, and I think they did kind of an interesting thing, I thought, because the guy who committed the white collar crime, who I believe was sitting in front of you on the bus,
one who stole a bunch of money, he was behind you.
Yeah, he did like some kind of Ponzi scheme or something.
Yeah.
They actually mentioned specifically the crime that he committed.
Really? I didn't catch that.
They said that he did, you know, this white collar crime, this Ponzi scheme kind of thing. And if I remember correctly, they didn't say what the other guy actually did.
They implied that he like raped somebody. Like,
yeah.
And I didn't catch, you know, like the situation, but that's kind of what they were implying.
Yeah, because the way they wrote it is where, you know, they start with this other guy who, I can't remember his name exactly, but they started out, you know, making him sympathetic because he's like, man, I committed this crime, but I feel bad about it because now my girlfriend won't talk to me and I'm just trying to, you know, I'm trying to repent basically for what he's done.
Right.
And then they wrote the white-collar crime guy in such a way that, you know, he just kind of came off as a jerk.
Right.
And so it's like when the time comes to make that decision of whose leg you're going to shoot off to get yourself out of the chains.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you kind of have strong feelings towards the guy who did the Ponzi scheme.
Right.
And it's like, well, I'm just going to take him out because he's kind of a jerk. But then he just throws in there, like, you're really going to let this rapist go.
Right.
and then I was like, well, hold on a second. I'm not sure, like, who I'm supposed to get here.
I know. It throws you into this moral quandary. So
yeah.
I ended up shooting the rapist. I immediately, like, I was like, ah, just done. He's gone.
Yeah. Because I had kind of already made a decision. So I ended up taking the guy who did the white collar crime. Yeah. Like, I took his leg.
Oh, and you did? So you shot the other guy.
Yeah, I did.
See, like, you know, and it was tough because, you know, the guy who does the, who's like the, what they call the rapist or whatever, you know, yeah. he stands up and keeps the cop from shooting you. And so you kind of like, he saved your life almost kind of thing. But I was just like, I don't know. Like, if I was going to be, I didn't know what, like, exactly how this would tie into season two. And I was like, man, I'd totally rather deal with some guy who's trying to swindle me out of some, like, I don't know, food or something than some guy who's running around raping people I'm with. So I was like, I'm just done. Not even going to put up with it.
Yeah. Yes. It was really interesting because I just kind of panicked for a second. And that's yes. That's kind of one of the things that I love about this game is sometimes you just panic so much that you make a decision yes. without thinking about it.
Yep.
And so, like, you know, once the other guy threw rapist out there, I was like, oh, what do I do? And I just, I'm going to take this guy. Like, I instantly just reverted back into my mind, like, I'm going to take the white collar guy's leg.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's that limited amount of time that you have to make decisions where you just kind of go into panic mode.
Right.
And just press a button, and then whatever happens, you have to live with it.
Which I actually feel like they did a lot better in this than they did in season one with Lee and Clementine. Like, you know, a lot of times, you know, there would be some timed decisions, but like everything else kind of felt slow. This one, even the conversations that weren't timed or the decisions that weren't timed, you know, mm-hmm. almost all of them were actually, but you know, the ones that weren't, you know, it felt like, you know, it just moved at a very quick pace, and I liked that. You know, it did throw you into this kind of like, you know, man, this, you're just making these decisions just on your gut, you know, and whereas in season one, you know, you could think about it for a minute. You could go over here and talk to someone else before you made a decision or something like that. But this one, it was just like, man, there's a lot of just fast decisions.
Yeah, and I think that plays really well into what they were trying to do, which was, you know, tell a few different little short stories within this world.
Right.
And so they need to kind of keep things a little bit compact. And so those time decisions, you know, they put some big decisions in there. And that, you know, short amount of time that you have to make those decisions is really kind of nerve-wracking.
Right. All right, so who did you play next?
Next, I played Wyatt, who was...
Wyatt, yes. Wyatt and Eddie, they're in the car.
Yes.
And Eddie just shot someone, and Wyatt's, you know, being like, what's up, dude? Why'd you do that?
Yeah. So they...
This is one that I felt like was a lot different. You know, like, this one was different than other episodes, you know, that we've seen before, you know. Whereas, you know, you're in a moving car, you got to shoot this guy, and, you know, a lot of you play rock, paper, scissors. You know, there was a lot of cool things that happened that we have not seen before from Telltale.
Yeah, this was one of the ones that was very narratively intense. I mean, there was hardly any gameplay at all.
Right, right.
You know, you had that one action sequence where you're trying to shoot at the truck, and, you know... and then from there, you know, you just have a conversation with this guy.
Yeah.
You know, talking to him about what he did, and, you know, you've got tons of different options. You can kind of berate him. You right. can, you know, comfort him and be like, hey, man, it's all good. Don't worry about it.
Right.
So that's another thing where they just develop those characters really well. Because, you know, you get to know these two characters, and it's like, you can kind of tell how to comfort the other guy.
Right, yes.
Just by listening to him, and it's like you kind of know what you have to say to just calm him down and
right.
get him to a place where he's, you know, able to think rationally a little right. bit.
So did you, what happened to who ended up leaving who at the end for you?
The first time I played it, I ended up getting out of the car as Wyatt.
Really?
And
dude,
I was
like, I'm not getting out of this car. There's no way you're making me. Like, the first time I played it, I went back and played just this episode because of the choice I had made. But, like, the first yeah. time, I didn't even play Rock, Paper, Scissors. I'm like, nah, dude. You went to check on this guy. You're getting out of the car.
Yeah. So I ended up, the first time I played Rock, Paper, Scissors, I lost. So I got out of the car.
Mm.
to take a look, and he ended up driving away and just leaving me in the middle of the forest.
That jerk. So what happens? Does Nick, does he say anything to you, or does he, what happens?
Well, you just kind of walk away from the car. You have to walk a ways until you find the policeman's body.
Hmm.
It actually is a real person, and he's still alive.
Right, it's one of the policemen from the beginning, from the bus, from that first episode.
Yeah. So you know, he gets hit by the car and he gets left. And so you go out, and when you find him, you actually have to go through an action sequence where you're kind of dragging him along to get him back to the car, and you have to stop every once in a while to take out zombies.
Wow.
Because they're just kind of piling, you know, they're coming after you.
Right.
And so you'll turn around, you'll grab him like by his chest and just kind of drag him along the ground.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while you got to drop him, turn around, you know, take out a zombie, and then do it again.
Wow.
You know, eventually, the second time around, I ended up staying in the car.
Yeah.
So, when you're in the car, this guy comes and he tries to kill you while you're in the car.
Yeah, supposedly that's Nick out of Russell's episode. The guy that picks him up in the truck.
Yeah, because he was the one actually chasing after them in the beginning as well.
Right, yes.
And so he ends up finding him again, and he comes back. So I can assume that that's what happened with the other guy, and that's why he left me in the woods.
So does he just take off, and you don't know why?
He doesn't say anything to you. He just drives off.
Oh, man.
So I'm guessing... Yeah, I mean, he leaves me behind, so I'm guessing... To save my own hide as Wyatt, I would have to leave the cop behind and just start running.
Wow. Well, the one thing I didn't like about this episode, and the reason I had to go back and replay it, and I didn't even like because I ended up winning the thing and it was going to end up the same way, and I was like, oh man, I'll just play this later. You know, the fact that whenever you're like, I ended up staying in the car and driving away, and and whenever you drive away, it says something like, you chose to leave your friend. And it was like, well, I didn't really choose to leave my friend. I would rather have, like, was there a scenario where I could pick up my friend and we could both make it out of there? You know, so they weren't very clear on that. That's why I went back and tried to replay it. But other than that, you know, it was definitely, you know, a good episode or a good storyline.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing about this game and the decisions that you have to make is because they make it so tense. Like, if you want to try and wait around and see if your friend will come back...
No, man. You're going to die.
Just like, this guy's here in his truck with a gun about to kill you.
Right.
It's like, well, if I wait just a little longer, I can get my friend out and we can go. And it's just like, you're kidding yourself. There's no happy ending.
Right. Who'd you play next after that?
After that, I played Russell.
Russell. So Russell's directly after that, then?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So Nick, the same guy who's beaten up on Wyatt and Eddie, you know, he picks up Russell walking along the road, and he's just a douchebag, man. He's just a jerk.
he's a real character. I'll give him that. You know, he I don't think he really cares about the gravity of the situation.
No.
I pictured him as listening to Drake before the apocalypse. Man. You know, you got to live life to the fullest and out here with the zombies and,
Yes.
But he picks up Russell on the side of the road and they end up stopping at this truck stop, which is, you know, the center.
Truck stop.
They end up getting shot at. The other guy kind of saves Russell's life a little bit.
Kind of. Well, yeah. Well, see, this is the thing. Even before that, I didn't like this guy. So, you know, whenever he gives you the chance to either cover him or he'll cover you. Like, I took the gun, and then it gives you the option to either cover him or draw on him. And I drew on him. I was like, dude, like, I just want to, like, make my point that you're not cool. I don't like you.
Yeah.
And but then nothing came of it. He, like, you know, like, convinces you to cover him and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, he ends up kind of saving your life. And then you get in there and you realize... You know, these are the people from the end of, I guess it's episode 4 of season 1, you know, the cancer patients.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I would like to know, you know, how they end up there, how far, how far away from Savannah we actually are, you know, that would be nice. But it was really cool. You know, like, hey, this fits into this other world.
Yeah, there's a lot of little callbacks that I didn't really, you know, recognize at first.
Oh, well, and then at the beginning of this one, you know, when Russell, he dies by this, you know, dead zombie, it's either, who is it? It's either, who do you kill on the side of the road in, I think it's episode 3 of season 1.
Oh, man. Is it the military girl?
Yeah, it's either her or it's the other guy. I cannot remember their names. Anyway, you know, that zombie's different, apparently.
Yeah, it's Carly, yes. Who is the reporter.
Yes.
And the tech guy.
Yes, the guy that I didn't end up taking him. I had Carly in my
universe. I'm replaying the whole thing right now.
Nice. Right this second, kinda, like while we're talking?
Not right now.
That's a bummer.
But I started it a few days back. Because the first time I ended up taking the tech guy with me.
Yeah, out of the store.
Yeah. So this time I ended up taking Carly to see how things would be different.
Carly's cool. Like I really like, you know, I don't know how it was with him, but she kind of ends up kind of being a moral compass to Lee, and I kind of like that. You know, I liked her influence on Lee.
Yeah. I can't remember exactly how he played out. But he just had a lot of cool things. Like, he would set up, like, motion detectors. Like, if zombies got within a certain distance, they would know.
That's cool.
So that might have changed some things. Like, they might have been able to prepare better. Some things might have changed.
Yeah, there was none of that whenever in my playthrough at all.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, so, you know, so then end up, you know, Russell, you end up, you know, being able to, you know, give the option to, either help Nick kill these old people and steal all their stuff, or you leave. And I left. I was like, forget you, man.
Yeah, I mean, it fit Russell's character, because at some point when they're driving in the truck, you know, who's that guy?
Nick?
I think it's Nate.
Nate. Yeah, I've been calling him Nick the whole time. Nate.
Yeah, so Nate, this character... is like trying to ask Russell about any girls that he's liked, but you know, not in the nicest way.
Right.
And Russell starts explaining that he was with a group a while back, and he kind of liked the leader of this group's daughter. But then some things started happening where, you know, they were just killing people for their supplies, and he didn't like that, so he left that group.
Right.
And for me, playing through that sequence, I was like, I'm betraying Russell as a character if I don't leave here right now.
Right, exactly.
Because, you know, that's just the way they set it up, and I was like, this is the only option that I can think of because it fits with his character. Right. And that's, you know, that's another thing where they develop these characters so well that you start thinking like they do.
Exactly. Yeah, it's crazy.
And that's using information that I had just learned like 10 minutes earlier.
Right.
I mean, it's really unbelievable just how well they can establish and, you know, develop these characters.
So, did you have, who was next? Was Bonnie or was it Shell and her sister?
Bonnie was next.
Bonnie was next. Okay.
Yes.
So this was another one that was like, you know, almost completely different from, you know, anything we've seen before, you know, whereas you kind of start off in this conversation and she's with two older people, and I guess the guy's got the hots for her. And,
yeah, there's something weird going on there. Really, sure.
Something a lot weird going on. And then his wife shows up and has this bag that she's apparently stolen. And I read somewhere online where she's stolen it from Shell. Like, Shell and some of the other people from the from her group are the ones in the field chasing them at the end of the episode.
Yeah, that's true, because they... in Shell's episode, the Shell's friend was talking about how they're still missing a flashlight from the cornfield.
Oh, that's true. See, I played Shell's like almost first, and so I didn't get that reference. You're right. That's awesome. Yeah.
And also, they had mentioned in Shell's episode that they had a break-in a couple weeks back, and someone had stolen medical supplies.
So do you, like think, a bag do you of think medical supplies? You think that's what was in the bag?
I think so, because well, Bonnie's story actually takes place a couple weeks before Shell's in the timeline.
I was hoping, like, we never found out, like, for sure in Bonnie's episode what was in that bag, and I was hoping it was something, you know, a lot better than that, you know?
Yeah, like a zombie head that somehow contained cure or something.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, but no, it was a bag of medical supplies that she had worked her way into that group. I mean, I'm not entirely sure about this, but she either worked her way into the group and took it and ran, or she just kind of broke into the camp one night and stole a bag of medical supplies.
I feel like she probably just broke in. Otherwise, you know, otherwise they wouldn't be asking where she got it if they met, you know, Bonnie and the other guy. You know, they were asking, you know, where did you get that? Were there other people? Like, they would have known if she was, like, undercover inside this group.
Yeah.
The, you know, the one thing that this is what I wished was in there. I was really hoping that, like, you know, she went out of her way and went through all this trouble, you know, just to get him like an anniversary present or something like that, you know, and just throw it in his face, you know, like,
yeah,
oh man, she's dead now, and you were fooling around with this Bonnie chick, and she was, you know, trying to love you the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, the story between Bonnie and this guy is a little weird, because apparently, I mean, from what I got of it, she was a drug addict or something.
Right, when they found her.
They found her and kind of helped her, you know, beat her addiction. But then also some kind of love thing formed between Bonnie and this guy. Yeah. It's a little weird. A little strange. But, I mean, it is The Walking Dead, right. So... It's not entirely out of the ordinary.
Right, right.
But yeah, I was...
I don't remember there being really... Oh, I guess the big choice at the end of this one was whether or not you're going to tell the truth. Did you tell the truth?
I did.
I did too. I was just like, what's the use in lying at this point?
Yeah, I felt like Bonnie would try and be truthful.
Right.
Because, you know, she's very trusting of people, which... you know, they mentioned in kind of that final epilogue sequence that she's almost too trusting of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like Bonnie would have told the truth and just hoped that the guy would have understood. You know, she didn't have a choice. She didn't know who it was.
Right.
You know, all those things.
Right. So then I guess the last episode is Shell and Sis and her
yes.
sister. I forgot her sister's name. I just called her Sis.
Yeah.
And so they're with this group, and someone breaks in, I guess after, you know, after the old lady with Bonnie breaks in, and, you know, that you have to decide either to let him go or to shoot him. What'd you do?
I actually did two different things. The first time I let him go, which, you know, turned out to be a mistake.
What does he do?
He goes away, and then the group gets attacked later on, and the old guy, I think Boyd.
Yeah.
The old guy, he ends up getting killed. Mm. And I think one other person might have also gotten killed.
Wow.
But the only real difference is that a couple more characters are gone.
Yeah.
Because they get killed in a raid. The second time through, I actually had him killed.
Yeah, that's what I did at first. I you know, I guess my thinking was, I was just like, well, I remember, you know, in the comics and, you know, in the show, you know, like, it never went well. Whenever you let somebody go, it never goes well
right.
in The Walking Dead. And I was like, I'm going to be like the Rictatorship. I'm just going to kill this guy.
Right.
Yeah, killed him, but then everybody just kind of falls apart. They're all moody after that. It's just like, come on, guys, this is the yeah. apocalypse.
Right, this is the world we live in. Better get used to it.
Exactly.
But I think my thought process the first time letting him go was that Shell really wanted to kind of shelter her sister as much as she could.
Yeah.
About this new world that they live in.
Yeah.
You know, she just, you know, she wanted to protect her sister's innocence for as long as she possibly could, right. Which is something she had mentioned to the group leader. And so that was my thought process. Like, I don't want to have to have my sister watch somebody get killed like a dog.
Right. Which, you know, I agreed with that. You know, I kind of like, well, you know, that's always going to be your first, you know, reaction. But then I was like, you know, but hey, if Clem can handle it, I mean, she sees how many people killed. And I mean, if Clem can handle it, this girl who looks like she's at least like 15 or 16 can definitely handle it, you know? So I was just like, yeah, not even going to deal with it. So then I guess the other choice at the end, you know, like her friend, you know, ends up trying to steal some stuff and they lock her up. They're going to kill her too. And you either have the choice to, I think there's actually three choices. I don't know for sure though. You know, like either you can kill her. I think you can have your sister kill her or you can drive away.
Yeah. I ended up killing her both times.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I kind of understood, you know, after that first time letting that guy go.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the way the world is in that universe.
Right.
And, you know, it just, that kind of stuff can't be tolerated.
Right.
And so, and of course, I didn't want my sister to do it. She offered to do it.
Yeah, I don't know if, even if you said go do it, if she would, it would let, the game would let you let her do it.
Yeah, I never really tried that option, so I'm not sure exactly how that would play out.
I feel like that's the wrong decision.
Yeah, just a little bit. But yeah, I ended up killing her both times. I'm not sure exactly how leaving in the RV would have worked out.
Right. Well, you know, they said something about, you know, him hunting them down and killing them, which they obviously wouldn't because they would have to tie the stories together at the end. You know,
but yeah.
I think all that would probably affect is the decision you make at the end, which, you know, like we find out that, hey, there's this lady, you know, she's part of a team. They've got a, like, kind of almost a community going on and they're searching for survivors and she's found them and asked them to come with her. Now, I think in my playthrough, the people that went with her, or actually the people who didn't go with her were Russell and then Shell and Sis. Vince, Wyatt, and Bonnie all went with her. And the other three, other three stayed at the camp.
Yeah. I think my first time, I only had Bonnie go.
Really?
Yeah. She was the only one that's like, guys, this is going to work. And everyone's like, you're crazy. Like, it's not going to work.
I mean, I don't know that I would listen to Bonnie either if she was the only one trying to convince me.
Yeah. But then the second time, I ended up having Wyatt, Russell, and Bonnie go.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the way that people decide whether or not they're going to go with this lady or not is dependent on the choices that you make as the characters within their separate stories, but then also certain dialogue options when you're playing as the lady at the end.
Right, then you convince them.
Yeah, because if you mention something about you might be able to find people you've lost touch with.
Right, then Wyatt will go.
Wyatt and also Russell.
Oh, wow.
He'll say, hey, have you guys been through this area? Because, you know, my grandma was there.
Ah, I see.
The lady's like, yeah, we swept through there a couple weeks ago. You might see your grandma at our bunker.
Right.
And so he'll be more accepting of her offer that way.
Right.
And I but think then
if you see something about there's kids there, then, you know, then Shell and her sister will come.
Shell and her sister, actually, if you end up leaving in the RV, she'll... I think Shell's sister will say something about, hey, maybe these guys can protect us from the guy who's coming after us.
Oh, I see. Wouldn't he still have been at the truck or the gas station that lady just came from?
Shell's story actually took place a while before this lady came.
I see.
So he's probably still out looking for them, or it's safe to assume.
Right.
I
guess that's the only flaw that I saw in the storyline was just how easy it was to find them. Like, okay, here's their pictures, and then, oh, there's smoke off in the distance. Let's go find them. Like, they would have had every single person within, you know, 20 miles, 25 miles come in to find them with that smoke up in the air, you know. That was kind of
it was a bit convenient for sure. You know, they had to end the story somehow,
right? And quickly at that point.
Yeah, and I mean, I would guess that they would have been like moving around, but kind of stayed in the area of the truck stop. Like, right. If I had to assume, like, they wouldn't go too far away,
right?
But yeah, it was just it was a little confusing on that front.
So here's the big question: what do you think is going to happen in season two? Like, you know, is it going to focus on these people, or will they just be kind of just ancillary characters in this story? Will we see Clem? What do you think?
I mean, if I had to guess, I would say Clem shows up at this camp. And I think season two might revolve around this kind of, you know, mystery paradise camp.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least have an entire episode there.
Right.
Because you don't mention a paradise camp and then not talk about the paradise camp.
Right. Or not show it.
Yeah. So they're setting up for something there, maybe in the season premiere. I'm not sure. But considering what happened at the end of season one, you know, with Lee dying and Clem basically being on her own.
Right.
Well,
she sees people walking, you know, so, like, I don't know if, you know, people find her and then bring her somewhere. I would almost, like, this is what I think. I think we're probably going to start off season two with Clem and we're hiding from people. Like, we're trying to just, like, keep away from people. It kind of, almost kind of like a mechanic like Bonnie in the cornfield, which I really liked, you know, that kind of stuff. Because, or at least in mine, I don't know what you told Clem, but I told Clem to stay away from everybody and not trust anyone.
Yeah, it's been a while since I played it, so I can't remember exactly what I told her.
Yeah, you can either tell her, like, you know, not to trust anybody or to go find a group, you know, I forget who you're with, but you tell her to go find them and they'll take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, man, from what I've seen, don't trust anybody.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of people out there who will just not be very nice. No, so
not at all. Okay. So here's the other question, and I don't know where this actually fits. You know, we visited Herschel's farm in season one. I think it's episode one. Do you think that this place is Woodbury?
Ooh, I mean that could definitely be. I mean, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they would really go there.
Right.
Considering, you know, they've done it for the comic and the TV show as well.
Right. I think it depends on where, you know, this is obviously, I guess now 400 days after the outbreak. And I don't know where this is in relation to, I guess it's got to be after the end of season one at this point.
Yeah. At least certain stories,
but
for sure.
But it would have to be before, like, in the comics, you know, since this is basically the comic world is what we're in. We're not in the TV world. And it would have to be before Rick and everyone make contact with everyone at Woodbury before, you know, everything goes crazy. Because, you know, at that point, Woodbury's done. And, and so it would have to be before then, and they'd have to leave before that. Otherwise, you know, wouldn't be able to explain why they aren't in the town, in the comics, you know, whenever Rick and everyone come.
Right, and that could very well be, you know, maybe you could end up at Woodbury, you know, right before things go to hell.
Right.
And actually get to see it, you know, devolve into what we see in the comic.
That would be cool. You know, actually, maybe escape during the chaos or something. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are so many possibilities, for season two that I'm really excited to see what Telltale comes up with.
Yeah, I am too. So what would you rate this on a scale of, you know, 1 to 10, what would you rate this episode?
I would probably say it's a 9. It's very true to the other episodes. You know, the storytelling is just as good, if not better, because of the difficulty of being able to develop characters in 15 to 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, there were some things that were a little bit convenient, like, oh, there's a camp right over there.
Right.
You know, so there are some things that aren't quite as good, But I would say overall, you know, it's more Walking Dead from Telltale, which is really what I wanted.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I give it a solid 8.5. You know, like, I guess the only thing that makes me take off a little bit more is just, just the kind of, like, hokey things. I wish it was a little bit longer. It could have been a little bit longer, but it was still good, you know. But then again, you know, I really want to see how these characters fit into the larger narrative of season two.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks, man, for coming on, and everybody should check out Derek's blog. It's dtraingames.wordpress.com, and I appreciate you coming on again.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Cool.
Well, that's all for tonight, and we'll see you next time on Stay on Target.